Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. And this is your host and speaker for this program, WGOD. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church in Merritt Island. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day today on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here. We're tuning in here today to God's frequency. God is always broadcasting, and He's got a word for you today. His word is going to be a word of encouragement out of the book of Philippians through God's servant, the Apostle Paul, who writes in Philippians chapter 3, some of the most famous verses in all the Bible, where he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call or the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's where we're at. We're also looking at, as the name of this sermon is, Citizen or Alien. Paul writes, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body or our vile body so that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So that's where we're at here the next 2 days. Here it is Wednesday. Perhaps it's 5:30 at night here on Wednesday. If it is, you've got 30 minutes to come to our Bible study tonight. We're looking at some excellent texts. We're in Acts. We're going to be picking it up here in chapter 10 this week. So we'd love to see you. Acts chapter 10, 6 o'clock here tonight. Now we are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, Island Community Church. Acts chapter 10, we're rolling out the blackboard. It's open for your questions and comments. So I invite you to come by here tonight. We'd love to see you. For more info on this ministry, islandcommunitychurch.net is the website. Is all of the sermons here since I've been here for 11 years are all available right there off of that page. So I encourage you to check that out. These sermons are up on YouTube on the Island Community Church YouTube page as well. So, okay, let's get into the word now. Citizen or alien?
Okay. Citizen or alien? We're in chapter 3 in the book of Philippians here this morning. You know you're in trouble when I only have one song, and you're in for trouble this morning. Let's continue where we left off last Sunday. Perhaps this chapter 3 is my favorite chapter in all the Bible. Prior to that, let's pray before we get started. Lord, we praise you here today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the living word of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We praise you. We worship you in the spirit through your son. Lord, we ask for your blessings now on this message here. Speak to us all. We all have ears to hear here this morning. Lead us and guide us. Help us to be doers of your word as well. Lead us and guide us here now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now let's pick it up here in verse 9, Philippians chapter 3. Paul's going to tell us how and where he wants to be found, both in life and in death for that matter. Everyone there? Okay, Philippians 3, verse 9. It says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So the apostle said he didn't want to be found having his own righteousness, which is from the law, meaning he didn't want his life to be one of trying to keep rules in order to be right with God, because that's no life at all. And besides that, it's unattainable as well, because keeping rules requires that you put confidence in yourself. And if you remember from last week, that is a big mistake. If you go down that road by trying to gain access to God by your own accolades, because you can't do that. Remember, Paul said, I put no confidence in my flesh. So Paul says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So let me explain. To be righteous is a legal word, like these legal words. Guilty, not guilty, prosecutor, defense attorney, hostile witness, and double jeopardy. So let's look at these words, because actually your entire future is laid out as if in a courtroom. First off, serving as both prosecutor and hostile witness against you is none other than the devil himself. And concerning you, he's loaded for bear. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 says this. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. All right, so there's another person in this courtroom, your accuser. So in this courtroom is your prosecutor, also serving as hostile witness, as well as your accuser, and you thought Donald Trump had it bad. Now the worst part is, the accuser and prosecutor, when it's talking about you, can tell the truth. That's the only time Satan doesn't have to lie, when he's talking to God about you. Why lie? He doesn't need to spin that at all. Because you're all guilty, that's why. Without redemption. Look at what this old devil said to God about Job. Now there was in the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, that Satan came also. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God, hates evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge around him, around his household, around everything that he has? You've blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have all increased in the land. But now you stretch out your hand and you touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. So Satan is hostile witness against you. Hostile witness and your accuser. And he's pointing that old Ebenezer Scrooge, that old ghost of Christmas future, long old bony old finger with that big yellow fingernail right at you. Satan is your hostile witness. Now, I've learned that again. When it comes to my sins, there's no need to lie. It's the only time the devil ever needs to tell the truth when it comes to my sins. Because I'm a sinner. And the Bible instructs me that my sins, left unattended, will cost me my life. Because the wages of sin is death. Now, since Satan is ever present to remind God of that I'm a sinner, day and night. You know, you ever wonder what Satan does in his spare time? Accuse you before God. Now, the next person in this courtroom is my defense attorney. Praise God. The Apostle John wrote, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Now, this Greek word translated advocate is the official Greek word for a defense attorney. The word is paraclete. And the good news is this morning that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is your defense attorney. And he'll take any case pro bono. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't charge you anything. He'll fit the bill himself. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He defends you pro bono. Costs you nothing, cost him everything. And the even better news is that he's even better than Perry Mason. He's never lost a case. And he's much better than the Three Stooges attorney, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Remember, we just read in the book of Revelation how to overcome this devil. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. And what transpired on the cross. And by the word of our testimony. That is Matthew 10:32. All of you, I think we have everyone here that was baptized in April. Remember? Matthew 10:32. Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. That's how you overcome the devil. Your confession, the blood of Jesus Christ, which obliterates your sin, and your confession of faith. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. You can't change venues or judges. Now, speaking of judges, in this courtroom, the judge in this case is Almighty God. And upon your confession of faith in this courtroom, these two things will happen to you. Number one, you'll be made right with God. Right on. Number two, I would say down goes the gavel, but this one won't do. Time to get out Mongo. Meet Mongo. Down will go the gavel, and from the judge, out will come those words that your soul has longed to hear since eternity past. And those words are, not guilty. By the judge. That's good news. God is the judge. And the last courtroom lingo word would be double jeopardy. Hebrews 8:12, God speaking, he said, quote, "For I will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more," unquote. You will never be tried twice for the same crime. Come to think of it, if you're not tried twice, then you were forgiven once. That was the great revelation I got this morning, getting ready for this. If you're not tried twice, then you're forgiven once. God forgives you of your sins, and your sins, he says, I will remember no more. He won't bring it up again. That's a lie from the devil that God is going to bring up your sins. He is the one that brings these things up to your remembrance, not God. God doesn't remember them. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have been forgiven of your sins. God has taken his gavel and slammed that gavel down about you, over you, and has said, not guilty. Remember, God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their trespasses against us. That's good news. Now, back to Philippians chapter 3. Just want to explain, you know, for you guys wonder what this thing is for. Is it for crowning you over the head when you fall asleep? No. It's to show you, anytime you read the word justify in the Bible, it's a legal word like these other ones are. Double jeopardy, guilty, not guilty. But when you read justified, it always applies to God because he's the only one that can do it. And when you are justified, and the word righteous and justify is the same Greek word. It means God has officially received you and has pardoned you for your sins because of the man in the glory and what he did on your behalf by dying in your place. Okay, now, Philippians 3. But by the way, all that can't happen to you. All that can't happen by you keeping rules. The gavel goes down on your behalf because of your faith, not because what kind of day that you had, or by keeping rules. Romans 5:1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have peace, and that's to be right with your maker. And that does not come through you putting money in that offering plate when that made its way around. It comes from faith and faith alone. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Are you longing for peace this morning? There's only one way to have it. You can't do things in the flesh to get it. You can't divorce your spouse to get it. You can't go buy a new boat, a big old boat to do it. You can't do things in the flesh. You'll always be looking for peace. The only way to have it is to be right with him. Then you can sleep at night. Now, let's try again, Philippians chapter 3. And the things that mattered most to him. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, that's where we left off last week. Let's get started on this sermon here today. Verse 12, not that I have already attained it, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, what a great promise that is. You're not alone. Paul's hoping was that he may lay hold of Christ, but even better news is that Christ has laid hold of you, and he will never let go. He's not wishy-washy like we are. When he gets a hold of you, he doesn't let go. That is good news. And remember, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning his hold on you is not dependent on works. It's dependent on faith. He's never going to let go. John 17:12, it says, this is the Lord Jesus praying to his Father. He said, those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. So these are the kind of things Paul's striving for. And for those of you who are discouraged, who think that you're nowhere there yet like he was, or if you feel like you're a mess, or if you feel like you always fail, be of good cheer. You're not alone. Look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Meaning he's not, even the apostle's not there yet. He still wrestles with these things. He said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. All right, actually, Paul, that's two things, not one. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Not so much talking about other people and those who have done you wrong, but you, yourself, your failures, all those things in your life that you're not proud of, or all those things that you've failed at, or just plain missed the mark, or wish that you could have back, maybe words that you said to someone else that you can't take back. He's instructing you, forget those things, move on. Someone else in this church was telling me this morning how they first made things right with someone. And then once they did that, then God just opened up the floodgates of heaven. Isn't that right? Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Church, put your past behind you. You can't change it. And number two, reaching forward. Actually, the word means straining forward to your future. That's just slightly out of your grasp right now. Reminds me of that crazy squirrel in those Ice Age movies. Striving after that acorn. I just can't quite reach it. You guys know who I'm talking about? That crazy squirrel. All throughout the movie, he's straining for something that he just can't reach. That ought to be what you and I are doing, straining for what's ahead, for the future, for what God has for you out here. Strain, stretch for it. Don't be complacent. Stretch for it. Strain for what God has for you. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's when God says to you, come on up, baby. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, come up here. Come up here. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Meaning, if you're not there yet, don't worry. He'll help you with it. And if you're new to the faith, and you might not have learned yet how faithful God has been to you and how faithful he will be to you every day of your life. There's a whole lot of people in this church that'll give testimony or two about the faithfulness of God. And how striving after these things that Paul strove after is a worthwhile goal in your life. Those who are mature, he said, have this mind. Those who are mature, let Jesus redeem their past. You've been set free from your past. Those that are mature, he says, have this mindset. God's been good to me. Look at everything he has forgiven me of. I'm going to move past this hurt that this person has done to me. I've been hurt many times. We just got to put it behind us. Remember, I think it's 1 Peter 5:6. I could be wrong, but he says, humble yourself. 1 Peter 5:7. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Put it behind you. Those that are mature have this mind. And then he says, even if you don't worry. He's still going to help you. If you think otherwise, God will reveal even this, the text says, even this to you. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern, meaning, try to strive for righteousness like I do, is what he's saying. And don't follow after those other guys out here in the world that don't.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
We need to be faithful to our families. Over and over and over again, the Bible speaks of family faithfulness. Friend, if you're not faithful at home, you're no good, and you can't be faithful anywhere else. The religion that doesn't begin at home, it just doesn't begin. And a man needs to be faithful to his wife. He needs to be morally faithful. He needs to be sexually faithful. There's no greater mark of unfaithfulness than adultery. The Bible says a man that commits adultery gets a blot that'll not be removed. I hope you've chosen a wife and that you're faithful, morally faithful to that wife. But listen, you don't have to be physically unfaithful to be unfaithful to her. Many a man seems to be married to his job. He seems to have a love affair with sports and other things and business and money that draws him away from his wife. The Marines have a philosophy. They have a motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. How that needs to be true in our hearts and in our lives.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Of love can still be seen on your hands and on your feet. We feel your heart of grace. Heaven's gates opened wide. You have raised us up to life. We breathe again this mystery nailed to a cross.